Well, good evening. Greetings in Jesus' precious name this evening. Good to be here with you tonight. Familiar faces, probably more so for my wife than for me, but still good to be here to worship with you this evening and share God's word together. The brother already mentioned the title of the topic that was assigned to me, Teaching Obedience to Our Children. I admit it's a tough subject to preach about. I was just sitting here thinking that I would have had a good excuse, I think, to say no to when Brother Darwin asked me to this, that until I could have had it figured out better myself, better qualified to preach about this subject. But if I was single or just a young married man, you'd probably say that you probably wouldn't have listened to me because you'd say what I have to say isn't relevant because I have no experience. If I was an empty nester, you may not want to listen to me either because you'd say, well, it was that long ago that I raised children that I had to deal with this, that you may not want to hear me at that point either. But tonight, I see some families here. I see children here. And I am right where you are. My children are not grown yet. And we are in the middle of still raising our family and endeavoring to teach obedience to our children as well. But that doesn't mean that I have all the answers. In fact, sometimes I as I think about this and ponder this great responsibility that God has given to us, it does feel overwhelming. And I wonder sometimes how it's possible that God bestows on us poor, negligent human beings such a great task as this, as raising children. And sometimes I think about it, I worry about it, that I'm going to get it right. We have one chance at it. Brother Darwin asked me to have this message long enough ago that I had plenty of time to think about it and to consider how I am doing with raising my children and teaching them obedience. And I noticed some areas where I'm falling short. And because of that, I decided to do something a little different than what I normally do for a sermon. I put a request out to a number of my friends in different stages of family life to, I said, is there at least one piece of advice that you can give me for this subject? And I got quite a number of responses, and I will include them in the message tonight. And I want to say that I don't get all the credit for all these points that I have on this subject tonight. And as I reviewed them, there was another realization that came to me, helped me in another way than just some points for the message tonight. But it reminded me that my wife and I are not the only ones endeavoring to teach our children obedience and having the vision of what it does for a family and what it does for the church, to have that vision and the fruits of that as we think about the future and teaching obedience to our children while they're young. And those friends of mine that gave me the advice, it was very good advice, and I plan to share that this evening, but I wouldn't want to attempt to teach obedience to my children without the help of God. He is the giver of wisdom. And teaching obedience is just one part of child training. But no matter what part of that teaching, that raising your children, where no matter which part you're considering or you would consider, God has an abundant supply of wisdom. And you could turn with me just to one verse as I think about God's wisdom. James 1 and verse 5. The abundant supply of wisdom that God has available for us. James 1 and verse 5 reads as this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so there we have it, that God, not only does he understand that the importance of raising a godly family and teaching them obedience, but he understands that we are human. And we can ask of him whenever we feel the need, and he will abundantly supply. There's three parts of the wisdom of God that I want to point out from this verse. And first of all, his wisdom is practical. God's wisdom is practical. It's not some high and lofty and hard to understand or hard to figure out wisdom. It's practical. And we can tap into that wisdom for every part of life, including teaching obedience to our children. And as I thought about this subject, there were a few books that I referenced to help me out also. But I was thinking about, as parents, we could read all the books out there about child training. We could cover them, maybe even from, well, however many different perspectives there are out there, and there certainly are. We could even take it a step farther and go to school to learn child psychology or whatever it entails. And both of those would give us the knowledge of what we might need. But if we would be unwilling, if we would be unwilling to put that into practical family life, it would do no good. It would do no good. But God's wisdom is practical. And we can ask of him at any time, and he will give it to us liberally. The second thing that I see, as far as the wisdom of God, it is divine. It is divine. It comes from God himself. And I mentioned the books and all the different perspectives and the ideas that are out there about child training, or child teaching our children obedience. The wisdom of God is untainted with man's ideas and philosophies. And as we think of the divine wisdom of God, it's more than just common sense. We use that phrase sometimes in our daily living, you know, just use your common sense. If you get into a situation where it's hard to, use your common sense. And I don't deny that sometimes we do need to use common sense when we are teaching our children obedience. But beyond common sense is the divine word of God, the divine instruction from God that will guide us, that will instruct us as parents when teaching our children to obey. It will give us the ability understand how he wants us to do it. And then thirdly, in this wisdom, his wisdom is Christ-like. Christ-like. So I believe when we're asking God to give us wisdom, we are asking to be like him. We're asking to be like him. After all, he is the best example for us to follow. And as I think about Jesus' life, in all of his teachings and all of his interaction with people and relating to people, dealing with those who came to him with requests for healing, for help, and whatever their situation was, he showed love and consideration in every situation, especially towards children. There's only a few accounts that we have of Jesus relating to children, but I know that children were very dear to his heart, very dear to his heart. He had a special place in his heart for children. And as we think of a Christ-like wisdom, a Christ-like example, that helps to keep us as parents from becoming impatient, even angry, while while teaching obedience to our children. It helps us to keep things in perspective as we think about doing it the way Christ would want us to and doing it the way Christ would himself. For the remainder of the message, I want to consider just three practical ways to teach obedience to our children. And those three are by instruction, by example, and by discipline. In the advice that I got from my friends, one of the things that came through, I believe in almost all of them, was the word consistent. And that was one thing that I had thought of myself, and I feel like it's in all three of those areas of teaching instruction and teaching obedience to our children by instruction, by example, and by discipline. Consistency is the one that stands out in all three of those, really. It's in how we teach obedience, it's how and when we punish for disobedience. It's how we exemplify it in our own life as parents. And so rather than making that, the consistency part, a separate point, I want to emphasize it in all three of those areas. And so for the first one, it's by instruction of teaching obedience to our children. And teaching is that first word in the title there. And I've been using that quite a bit already as I was going along here. It gives indication. The word teaching, instruction, gives indication that obedience doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. And children are born with the Adamic nature. And so obedience doesn't come naturally. They must be instructed in that way, taught in that way. Obedience, teaching obedience, is a direct command from God. Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." In Proverbs 22:6, a familiar verse that we use in teaching our children, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And then we have the verse in Colossians 3:20, which is from the children's perspective. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Now that again, that verse is coming from the children's perspective, but how else will they learn? How else will they learn obedience except that we teach them? Except we impart to them the seriousness of obedience, learning obedience. And one of my friends pointed out this, that teaching equals a God-given responsibility. And I want to add to that, not only is it a God-given responsibility, but it's an opportunity. It's also an opportunity. The purpose of teaching our children obedience is ultimately to grow up, help them to grow up to men and women who honor God and not to hurt and discourage them, as we have in the first verse I read there from Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to direct them in the ways of God. And as we think about instruction, it's a lot of talking, it's a lot of encouragement, it's a lot of day in and day out work. But I believe that instruction in obedience must begin at a very young age, And when the child is most teachable and impressionable. And through the years, I've heard it more than once that, and in my research, that I discovered that in the first 3 years of a child's life is when they gather the most information, and they are the most impressionable, can easily learn the most. And as we think about the years going along, I believe as a general rule, by the time the child goes to school, obedience should be second nature to him. It's not the teacher's responsibility. We should not expect the teacher. It's not their responsibility to teach our child obedience. Yes, they can enforce that. They can help us in that area. But obedience should be taught at home. Not to take up the responsibility of what is our job to do. Instruction must continue through adolescence. But I believe yet as the child gets older, the less instruction will be needed if we have laid the proper foundation in their younger years. And when they have, as we relate to a child, as he grows older, I believe that they when they have truly learned obedience, most of the time it will happen in the absence of us parents. And when we can expect that even when we are not always with them, that they will have learned obedience. And I mentioned consistency. Instruction must be done consistently, whether it's convenient or not. If your hands are in the bread dough, if your hands are greasy from working on the lawnmower, whatever it is, it must be consistent. It's not always a convenient time to stop what you're doing and take care of the issue. And I believe that the instruction includes teaching our children to obey our verbal instructions promptly. And I'm sure you've heard it said already that as when we give the verbal instructions, that a child who delays or ignores our desires, our requests, is really disobedience, is really a passive form of rebellion, And I believe that we would all agree that rebellion is really a very serious sin, especially if it's left undealt with as the years come and go, and as it forms, the seed is planted and it forms into fruit in a person's life. But I want to say tonight that sometimes I'm afraid we subconsciously encourage disobedience because of how we as parents ignore it sometimes. And if we fail to train our children in prompt obedience, we're actually training them by default various forms of disobedience. And in effect, there's, I think, some messages that we're giving to our child as we don't follow up or expect prompt obedience. We're teaching our children that it's okay to disobey, that you don't need to obey until I have repeated my instructions several times. We probably heard it too around us. You don't need to obey until I raise my voice or threaten or scream at you. We've all heard that in the grocery store or wherever it might have been. You don't need to obey until I go for the paddle. You don't need to obey until I have answered all your questions and arguments first. You don't need to obey if you can distract me or get me to laugh. You don't need to obey if you throw a tantrum. You can obey, but you can strike back with words or looks or a posture of rebellion. All messages, I believe, that we give to our children when we don't expect prompt obedience. One of the things I believe that happens too often, especially, and I have to admit, I'll be revealing myself maybe in some ways tonight. But one of the things that often happens maybe with instruction is nagging. Instruction does not include nagging. And we might fall into that habit more easily with children who are old enough to be able to have a conversation and to reason together. And to be able to reason themselves what the request is, or the reason for obedience, that obedience is required of them in the first place, in whatever area it might be. And when a child of that age is old enough to reason it, think about it, and understand what is expected of him, when a child of that age is reluctant to obey, I believe that we shouldn't be nagging, but it presents an opportunity to take the time to talk. Take the time to talk and to help them to understand what is expected of them. If he still does not understand, discipline should be used. I just want to say this. Discipline is helpful, but nagging is harmful. And we'll talk about more of the discipline and when we get to that point. Secondly, teaching our children obedience by example. I thought of the verse in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. This verse goes out to all Christians. Be thou an example in word, in conversation, in charity. It's just a part of the verse there. But it's a good verse for parents. It's a good verse for parents. In word, in conversation, in charity. Be an example. I don't think there's anything more confusing to a child than when we say one thing, but we do something different ourselves. A child is just like us as older people, as parents. They understand more by what we see, by what they see, than by what they hear. A quote that one of the men shared with me reads like this: example is not the main thing in influencing others. It is the only thing. It is the only thing. And it will be much easier. You know, part of our life, part of parenthood is really being exposed to our children. Is they will see our faults. They will see that we're not perfect. But it will be much easier to teach our children obedience when we're consistent in our own life. And right here is where respect and obedience are hard to separate. Very hard to separate. You know, children will have a hard time speaking respectfully and acting respectfully, acting obediently about others in the church, about its leaders, about their school teachers, about their fellow workers, their co-workers, if they hear disrespect coming from us. If we can blatantly talk openly about others, disrespectfully about others, it would be difficult to teach respect and obedience to them. And how can we expect our children to obey if they see us driving over the speed limit? And I'm sure that more than just I have had that experience with my children sitting in the back seat and being able to look front to the speedometer and saying, "Dad, the speed limit is so and so." And yes, yes, it is. Yes. I think we probably more than me have been there. How can we teach them obedience if we disregard the standards of the church as parents? How can we teach them obedience if we keep the money that is not ours? You know, when the cashier gives us too much change, what are we going to do about it? How can we teach our children respect and obedience when we keep the extra that is not ours? Respectful children are generally obedient children. Obedient children are generally respectful children. But when a parent knowingly disobeys God, the church, or the state, we are proving to our children that disobedience doesn't matter. Obedience is taught more easily, I believe, when there is harmony between mom and dad. As parents, we must promote same standards of obedience in our home in order for our children to understand clearly what is expected of them. And again, I've had it happen to me already. When I told the children something, "But mom told me that so-and-so." And then what do? It takes some fast thinking, some right words for the situation. But it also calls for some communication between mom and dad. In my study, I read the sad story of a situation of a family where the girls wanted something very badly that their father did not want them to have. And the mother was in agreement with the girls that she felt no reason, there was no reason for them not to be allowed to have this, the forbidden thing. And so she helped them to get it behind their father's back, behind her husband's back. And one day, while the girls were using it, and they looked out the window, and they saw Dad walking in toward the house. And Mom said, "Quickly, let's put it away. Dad is coming in." And the girls did put it away. They tried to appear innocent when Dad walked into the house. You know, he may have never found out about that, but the mother planted a seed in the heart of those girls that would become obvious in the years that would follow. Obedience and respect was lacking, and the seed was planted. Let's go to the third point. Teaching our children obedience by discipline. We need to expect obedience from our children, but neither should we be surprised when they disobey. Because I had mentioned near the beginning that our children are born with a sinful nature, and they're not perfect. Our children are not perfect. And it will take more than one day for them to learn obedience. And again, I believe that consistency must be exercised with discipline. It's so very important. I mentioned the inconvenience sometimes, that it's just not a convenient time to stop and to take care of an issue or to take care of a disobedience. But we cannot make an excuse for disobedience. The same disobedience that we punish for one day must be punished for next week. When it happens again, if it would happen again. And I believe in this realm of discipline and this idea of consistency, I believe there is danger of requiring obedience just to make a good impression. You know, we all want our children to put on their best behavior when they're away from home. When we're out in public or when we're visiting together. And we're embarrassed when they make a scene to time to go home and pick up the toys or whatever it is. That they make a scene about having to share. But if we expect obedience from our children when we're away from home, it must first be required at home. It must first be expected of them when we're at home. I believe anything else, anything other than that, will produce frustration and resentment in children. And they will soon pick up that, they will understand that it's more important, that it's required. Obedience is required of them just to make the show, just to be a good impression, just to help mom and dad look good. They will pick up on that. And I believe at the same time, they will also sense and understand that when it is that obedience is required out of love for him and to help him to learn and to grow. In Colossians 3:21, reads like this: Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And I believe that this one area here, discipline, is probably the area where it's most easily to happen. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, and trying to deal with a disobedient child, that easy to become frustrated, easy to become angry. But the instruction is clear: provoke not your children to anger. Discipline requires strictness. But strictness without love is tyranny. Love without strictness is destructive. Strictness without love is tyranny. Love without strictness is destructive. And therefore, I believe that love, that four-letter word, love, is the essential ingredient in teaching our children obedience. And you know, as parents, we have 5 children, ranging age 15 to 4 years old. And each one of them is unique in their own way, even in this realm of discipline. And each one requires maybe a different approach, maybe a different method. But I think as parents administering discipline, I think it's helpful to stop and think. And I've thought of this different times as I was having to administer discipline, that how would I feel as my child to be treated this way as I'm disciplining them? Yes, discipline is obviously for their good, and it must be effective. It must be done in a way that is effective. But how would I feel? Would I feel that it's unfair? Would I feel that it's done out of unkindness or anger. And I found thought about it also. The most effective discipline is administered by a parent who himself suffers with the one being disciplined. And truly helping the child see through it and understand why he was being disciplined. I mentioned nagging as one of the weaknesses, perhaps, of teaching obedience. Quite possibly another one of the weaknesses is the threat of a punishment. And I would say this: don't threaten a punishment unless you intend to carry it out. One father told his little boy 5 or 6 times each meal that if he didn't behave, he would be pinned in the bathroom. And I don't recommend that necessarily as a form of punishment. I don't promote that. But he told his little boy 5 or 6 times that if he doesn't behave, you're going to be pinned in the bathroom. You know, that little boy was never pinned in the bathroom. He never was pinned in the bathroom. Not once. That little boy was to be pitied. If he would have been penned in the bathroom as a punishment, he would likely have obeyed after that. The punishment would likely have been worthwhile. The results would have been what was expected. But I believe to threaten a child is, before he even commits the wrong or the misconduct, is demoralizing to the child. And it tells a child that we expect them to do wrong. And we already have planned his punishment. It could cause the child to think that his parents is against him. It'd be hard to win his favor. And the child very likely could one day turn against his parents also. Finally, I believe with discipline and teaching our children obedience is to deal with the root issue. To deal with the root issue. And one of my friends passed on to me some advice which he had heard. It was this: instead of being ashamed of your child's or your children's outburst, we can be thankful for them. And that was a bit of a something for me to think about. But instead of being ashamed, I'm going to be thankful for them. But what happens, it reveals what is inside of our children. It's what's in their hearts, and it gives us an opportunity to deal with it. It makes it clear the work that we have to do and what is inside. As you think about dealing with the root issue, you know, we could go out to a tree and we could take a basket or 2 or 3 baskets of bright red apples and nail them onto that tree. And that tree would look nice for a while. It would be very pleasant to look at. But soon those apples would rot and they would fall off. And the tree wouldn't look as nice anymore. Wouldn't it be much better to nurture the tree, to nurture the roots, and care for the plant in such a way that it encourages it to bring forth its own fruit? Fruit that will bring lasting beauty of its own. I want you to think again about the verse in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The long-lasting, the the long-reaching effect of obedience. There was a father in London who took his young son along to town when he went to do business. On the way home, they came to a bridge, and the father suddenly remembered. He forgot something back in town. He forgot to complete some business back in town. And he instructed the boy to stay right here by the bridge. You stay right here by the bridge until I get back, until I finish my business, and I'll come back. And the father forgot about his son. He went home by a different route. When he got home, his wife said to him, ask about the son. Oh, he said, I forgot him. I left him back at the bridge, but I'll go get him. I will go get him. And on his way back, after explaining, while he was on his way, he explained to someone he met that where he was headed, I'm going back to get my son. I left him at the bridge. They said, oh, he won't be there anymore. You were gone too long. Yes, he will, said the father. I told him to stay there. And when the father arrived at the bridge, his son was there, just as he had expected. I believe it's a story of encouragement of what we can do, what we can expect of our children with God's help when we teach them obedience. And you know, God is the author of the family. And God is the author of order. It mentions that in 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And I think right there is the key to teaching obedience to our children. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. If we keep God first in our homes, there will be peace. There will be obedience. If we allow His guidance in this area, if we seek His wisdom, His plan always works out the best. Always works out the best. Disobedience brings disorder, tragedy, and death. Obedience brings order, godliness, and long life. And I thought about Jesus' words in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I said at the beginning, it's not an easy subject to teach, and teaching obedience is not easy. And none of us, I don't think, will have all the answers, no matter what stage of life we're in. But we do love God. We do love God. And we demonstrate that love and obedience to Him and teaching obedience to our children. And God wants to use us. God wants to use us in spite of our weaknesses and our failures to teach that obedience. And they, in turn, will grow up to men and women who want to obey Him as well. And I believe I mentioned this already, preparing them for a greater work that God has for them. There were some verses that I want to turn to yet in Exodus chapter 18. It's Jethro's advice to Moses when he was overwhelmed with the burden of leading the group of people, the children of Israel. Moses was wearing out. He was becoming weary of his work. And Jethro's advice to Moses is in Exodus 18, verses 19 to 20. It's breaking into the conversation here a bit, but I want to apply it to us as parents. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. That is the responsibility of us as parents, to teach our children the work that they must do. And that starts by teaching them obedience and helping them to learn the value of respect and obedience to authority. So may God help us. May God give us wisdom. May God give us love enough in our heart to teach our children obedience, that we can affect the coming generations. Let's kneel for prayer.